Okay, if we would, let's go to Judges chapter 15. Like I said, it's been a while since we've been on this teaching, and so just as a quick recap, with this story with Samson, one of the reasons why I felt the Father had us to go through this character is because a lot of times, I hate to say it like this, but a lot of times in Christian life, we probably identify more with a Samson than we do with a Moses. We know to do things right. We'll start off our Christian walk. We'll start off our life on fire. And we get out and we're so fired up, we're trying to put out hell's fire with a water pistol. You know what I'm saying? We got great intentions, but then all of a sudden, we come up and we don't have the teachings because we wasn't really taught the Torah. We wasn't under... What does the Father expect of us in our walk as believers? You know, there was each denomination has their creed, and they have certain things that they'll say, well, you need to do this, 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 and this. And this one, you do this, this, and this. And this one will say, well, tongues is of the devil. And this one will say, no, it's not. And then there's this back and forth, and then there's the charismatic, and it was, you know, blab it and grab it, and sloppy agape, and greasy grace, and all of that going on. And then, you know, I'm the head, not the tail. And all of these things are true words. But you have to act like the head and not the tail. You have to walk that I'm above and not beneath. And that was the problem, that a lot of times believers, we backslide. We just get in a place because we don't know what's really expected of us as believers. And now I know you in the Torah, you understand that. This is some things that we're learning. But do we do everything that the Torah tells us to do? We do most everything the Torah tells us to do, because there's still areas in the Torah that, number one, we probably don't know. We don't know how probably to walk certain things out. But at the same time, there may be certain areas in here that I'm still praying about. You know what I'm saying? Yahweh says, love your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You see what I'm saying? So we want to put ourselves into the equation of the scriptures. So we see in Judges, and we will see the main thing was everybody, during the time of the Judges, it said everybody would do what was right in what? Their own eyes. But are we any different today as a body of believers? Are we not trying to do what? Well, it says that we are to eat kosher. Well, what does that mean? You know, we a lot of times do what's right in our own eyes. We lean, and Scripture tells us, lean not to your what? Own understanding. And we'll do that. We'll say, man, this looks good, sounds good. It looks holy. It looks right. Well, let's just don't do Yahweh's times and seasons. Let's just interject our own, because we can make them prettier and festive, and we can make them with plenty colors, and we can throw beads, or we can do whatever we want to do. More people to come if we make it look attractive. The gospel, if you look at it in the way that it's supposed to be, it is attractive. It is attractive, because this is the only thing that's going to give you eternal life in a world to come. But the thing about it is that's where we have to let go and let Yahweh do what he does best in our life. Samson didn't do that all the way through, but hopefully we'll have a surprising ending maybe in the end. Okay, so we know what he did. You're not supposed to take foreign wives. He took a wife. Then he didn't get the wife. The father gave the wife to his best man, and then he got mad. He caught 300 foxes. How he did that, it's a miracle. Then he sets their tails on fire. He burns up all their wheat. They get mad. Who did this? This was Samson. Then they went and got Samson's, I don't know if you call him a father-in-law because he never made it that far, but so they burned him and the girl. At first, when he went back to get his wife, and then he said, well, look, I done gave the girl to the best man, take the sister. She's prettier than the one you wanted anyway. And then he's saying, if you wouldn't have plowed with my heifer. So, man, they got all kind of stuff going on. So we got a mess, all right? So it seems like in our life, now I want us to look at something. Each stage, we can be we can put ourselves, we can interject ourselves in here. All right, so now Samson starts off here in Judges 15, just a little bit of the story without going through all of it. The Philistines are mad because he's burnt up all their crops. And so they're coming against Judah. Now, Samson was from the tribe of who? Dan. The Danites at this time was living, we showed a map months ago, no, weeks ago, where they lived where Judah was at. They're not where they're at now, which is in the northern Israel. They were right there at Judah. Well, the Philistines are mad. You done burn up all of our crops. This man is a thorn in our flesh. So they come again. They were going to war against Judah. And Judah said, look, we don't have, don't be picking on us because he's a Danite. Isn't it somehow, you know, he's a deliverer for them in that region. But now you're going to inflect a little bit. Oh, you're going to throw him under the bus. It's like throwing Moses under the bus. They're going to throw Dan. Under, he's the judge who was judging that region at that time. Well, then they said, you need to either, we're going to war against you or you're going to turn him over to us. And so they go down and they make a deal with Samson. They say, look, we got a problem. You over here stirring up all this trouble with the Philistines. And they said, well, you don't attack me. What I'll do is I'll let you tie me up and I'll let you give me into their hands. They said, that sounds like a good deal. So the tribes of Judah, the rulers of Judah at that time, tied Samson up. And this is where we're at in the story. And so it says, when he came to Lachish, which, and this is, this Lachish is how it's pronounced, is not far from Zorah. That's where Samson was from. And look, if I say Solomon, y'all correct me, because I'll throw Solomon out there sometimes when I'm talking about Samson. I always have to do that disclaimer. So here they are. He came to Lachish. The Philistines were shouting to meet him. So now Samson, he's tied up and he's bound, and this is where he's at. And then it says, and the Spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that he had caught, like he'd been caught on fire, and his bonds melted off of his hands. Then he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Now that's amazing right there. Just a jawbone's laying around. And he put out his hand and he took it, and with that jawbone, and we know this story, we've heard it, this is one of the childhood things, and he struck down 1,000 men. Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, and with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men. Verse 17. Now, I thought this was pretty comical, 17, 18, and 19. But, and as soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and that place was called Ramath Lachish. And it says this, and he was very thirsty. And he called upon Yahweh and said, now, I mean, he just fought this big battle. You would think, but now he's complaining that he's thirsty. And it says, have you granted me this great salvation by the hand of your servant? And shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? How many times have we sort of heard that story before? Children of Israel coming out of Egypt. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Tammy did this little, as we're going through these daily delights, on the fourth day of this past day, she had wrote down that drinking or a drinking spirit repeat themselves in Scripture. There's a lot that has to do with drinking water and the Spirit. And I thought it was really amazing that that came out this week. And then, and if you go back and read on the fourth day, you'll see this, that whenever they came against him, the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him. And then after this great feast, he's thirsty and he needs to be replenished. And the Father, he's crying out, I need something to drink. I have physically and spiritually expended everything. And so what did the Father say? It says, Yahweh, he didn't really say, Yahweh didn't say it. He said, and Yahweh split open a hollow place that is at Lachish, and the water came out from it, just like in the wilderness. And I wrote down here, if Yahweh calls, he will provide. this is something that in this story that's so important to me is messed up of some of the things that Samson did. And there's no doubt that when Samson messed up, he probably did repent. He messed up. Is that not like probably the Christian life? Could that not be where people do this over and over? More than if somebody could get fired up for the Father and for 30 or 40 years stay fired up, you know, and walking without stumbling. But without the Torah itself, without the laws and commandments, without the leading and guiding, we were just taught mainly we're just going to believe some things. There was just no measuring stick. What do we do? How do we judge? How do I know? Have you ever had the question, especially early on in your Christian life, have you ever had the question of saying, how do I know that I'm really doing right? Why do we have revivals every spring and every fall, and we're always saying we need revival, we need revival, we need revival? What does reviving mean? You are what? Dead. Why is the church full of dead people? Why are we on CPR and AEDs? Okay, that's a defibrillator in case someone... Why do we have these... What is wrong with us? Why? Because it's in us. It is in us to do what's right. It's in us because you know what we want to do? What can I do for you? You did this great... You sent your son to die for me. What can I do for you? That is in us to do this. He knows it's in there. Simply obey this. Well, that's not good enough. I want to do something. Guys, you can't hang on a cross. You can hang on a cross if you want to. You're not going to move him because he didn't call you to do that. If you do what he calls you to do, that's what moves him. Amen. That's what moves Yahweh, is when we will do what he asks us to do. Not step outside of a realm and try to do something spectacular that you can't do anyway. We are his children. It says Yeshua is the head and we are the what? We are the body. Act like the body. Amen. Do what the body does, because you'll never be the head. Yeshua's got that place. He's got it nailed down. And I'm telling you, we're working him in overload at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. You see, this is what happens. So you see here, he kills all of these people. He cries out. Yahweh delivers. He opens up. He splits a rock. Water comes out of it. He drank. His spirit returned to him, and he was revived. And they named the place En-Hakkore, which means spring of one calling. And then it says that he judges Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. Now let's go to Judges 16, verse 1. Girl number 2. It's like, let's make a deal. Door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3. Now you got girl number 2. Samson went, now he just had this mighty great thing in his life. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw what? Yeah, he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. Now, I'm sure that prostitution is not legal in Torah. Okay, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but 1 Corinthians 6, 15 and 16, I just want to read what Paul said there. And this is the reason why it's not. And Paul said it like this, because I want to jump down to Miss Feeble, who's girl number 3. He said this, he said, Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Messiah? Shall I then take the members of Messiah and make them members of a prostitute? Never. He said, do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. I just want to say here, this is what Paul was saying here. A mixture is not allowed. He wasn't really talking about a physical prostitute here. He was talking about mixing Yahweh's worship with pagan worship. They were always doing this mixture during this time, because if you know, because this was written to the people of Corinth. Corinth is where they had the games, the Athen games. This is where they would they would do their, what's like the Olympic Games? They would go in and they would do their thing. And this is why, you know, we talked about this during the Hanukkah thing where you hear this word Hellenistic or Hellenized Jews, which is Greek Jews, they're mixed. So you have a Jew who's racially Jew, but they have Greek thinking. That is what's really what the church is today. It is really, we take this word, but we try to read this word from a Greek thinking mindset. This is where we get messed up. Because Hebrew is about action. It's not about the things. So with this, he's trying to tell you, even in the natural, you don't do this. And this is the reason why you don't. But especially in the spiritual, because what was the book of Hosea all about? It was about, Gomer. That was what, and what he's doing is, and that's what he was trying to tell. There is no other gods. There are no other Elohims in this earth. I am the only one, and I am jealous, and I will not share my glory with another. This is what he's sharing. This is what he's been teaching them. But Israel kept doing this all the way down. Do we not do it? I'm going to tell you, the church is full of mixture today. This is why we don't have the power moving. That's why we need the revivals. That's why revivals are trying, because we know we're lacking. We just don't know where we're lacking. Because we're thinking that we're doing everything right. Yahweh's doing something. He's got to bring restoration before he can bring a revival. Because if he can't restore, restoration is restoring. It's restoring to what? Back to this word and back to the ways that it's supposed to be. Once we can be restored, then revival is going to happen because of restoration. It can't help but. But if you revive, what are you reviving to? The same thing you've been doing? If you keep doing, well, why do... Hansi says it like this, and I appreciate Hansi's ministry. I couldn't do it. I'd be so depressed, I'd have to have spiritual Xanax. I'm telling you, because, you know, he'll go and he'll preach a week. People will be fired up. Come back the next year, dead. Keeps him in business. You know what I'm saying? But dead, that's discouraging. Brian, that's discouraging whenever you pour out your heart and soul, and then all of a sudden you come back a year later, and you know what revival is? It's when this group here gets disgruntled in this church, and they go to this church. And all of a sudden, man, things is happening here. Yeah, they all got mad and left there. But hang on, they're going to leave here and go over here. Because you're going to make them mad too, because is that not what's happening? I don't see a big growth. I don't see a big growth. All I see is a lot of movement and people being disgruntled. That's not what this is about. The Father's trying to get our attention, and he puts these stories in the Scripture to let us know this ain't the way it's going to work. Doing it this way is going to fail. You're going to have a failed ministry if you try to do it this way, and you're not going to achieve everything the Father has you to achieve. That's why we do Passover. We do Pesach. Why do we do it? It's real simple. Yahweh said to. Did he? He said to. Why do we do the Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot? Because he said to. Why are we here today on Saturday? Because he said to. It's sort of a novel thing. It's to sort of maybe do what he asked you to do. But we, a lot of times, for the visitors, most people here have heard this, for the visitors, why did he make Adam on the sixth day? Because he didn't need any help. Because what would he have done if he had made Adam on the first day? He had a battle with him on how to make a tree. Are you sure? I mean, I'm just saying the proof's in the pudding, because that's what we do. Mankind has created a worldwide religion. He's not looking for that. Guys, he's just looking for some obedient children. He's looking for obedient children that will love him, just simply obey his word, and you know what? He will shower you with blessings. But you can't do wrong things and expect blessings. it just don't work that way. You will keep coming, and what will we have? We will have a revival, and you will have somebody to come in here. They'll blow in, blow up, and blow out, and they'll pump you up, and they'll get you excited. And then maybe if you really, within 2 months or whatever, you're already starting to wane because you're doing the same thing that you did before he showed up. There has to be change. This Torah is about change. Samson had a problem with change. All right, now let's go to Judges 16:4. Okay, it said, after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. That's very delightful. Do y'all know what Delilah means? Means feeble. Means feeble. Means weak. I said, how ironic is her name feeble and weak? Because what will she do to Samson? She will take his what?
Strength.
Isn't it amazing? You love numbers. We know names. We know names mean things. And here he is. But you know what? Samson had strength when he would do what he was supposed to do. But he had a slow fade. And he was spiritually going downhill. His light was... His discernment level is waning. That's why everybody's doing right in their own eyes, because they have no spiritual discernment. That's right. Here again, he goes to a lady who's not an Israelite. She's from the Philistines. All right, now look what it says here. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, seduce him. Okay. What does that mean? What that means is the enemy is always looking away for a crack in our armor. No matter, Satan, it doesn't matter, the enemy is always looking for a way to break you down. He's always looking, and that's what that word seducing means. And see where his great strength lies. Because you know what? They've tried everything else, and it has failed. I mean, he's killing them with jawbones and everything else. Find out where his great strength lies. So you're going to send somebody in undercover. And by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind to humble him. Now look what it says here. That we will what? What's that word? And we will each. Does yours say each? And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. It's not that you're going to get 1,100 pieces of silver. We will each give you 1,100. And the commentary said that there were five lords or five rulers over the Philistines at that time. So they were giving her 5,500 pieces of silver for information. You know that they were desperate. Because you can say that's 140 pounds worth of silver. So whatever the going rate is, that's how much money that she was going to get. And I'm sure that silver was worth a lot during that day. Probably a lot more than it is today. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies. And how you might be bound, and that one could subdue you. Now, I got a question here. You got a lot of questions. Have we ever read in the book of Judges where Samson ever went before Yahweh to ask about his mate?
Nope.
Wonder why? Because he probably thought what the answer is? Because he knows, because we went through the first part, because he said, man, she looked good to his eyes. She was a knockout, all of the above. He went through all of that. You never see from girl number one, girl number two, definitely, because she was a prostitute. I'm sure that he didn't go to her and ask, well, father, yes.
Mom and daddy didn't ask either.
No, mom and daddy didn't ask either. Mom and dad said, why couldn't you? They knew the right answer, but they just didn't stand up and say that. They stood, parents, you got to stand your ground with the Torah, with your kids. If you don't, it don't end well. Okay? You got to do it. You don't see in here. And so guess what? He's going to get what comes with this. All right? So you don't ever see where he does that. And also, we talked about months ago, I think, being unequally yoked. This is why you're not unequally yoked with a non-believer. And when it talks about uncircumcised here, well, naturally, Delilah's uncircumcised. You know, but it's not about being her circumcised. It's talking about she's not in covenant. She's not covenant people. That's what it means. You're joining with an uncircumcised group of people. She's not in covenant. Yahweh placed people in covenant. That's why it's important that you marry the right person. If you don't, guess what? You will get what comes with it. Amen. Okay. So that was verse 6. All right, let's go to verse 19, because all that's going to happen between verse 6 and verse 19 is a lot of nagging. Please, if you love me. If you love me, if you love me, if you love me, you will do this. You will tell me this. You will do this. You'll love me and all of that. You know, I'll buy you an apple fritter. You know, if you love me, you go through the whole deal. So there's a lot of pleading. And what did I tell you about Satan? Don't listen to him. He will talk you to death. You don't listen to the enemy. You don't listen to the enemy. You go to the scriptures. If you're propositioned with something, is this right or is this wrong? Don't lean to your own understanding. Go to the scriptures. Is this right or is this wrong? If it's wrong, guess what? The answer is always to be no. Real nada. No. Whatever language is no. You know, you don't do it. If you're setting yourself up for failure if you don't say no. Sometimes it's no. Yeah. You sure can. Grab that mic and add something. You got to say no.
I believe what we've got to realize here is that, here what I'm fixing to say is that Samson is guilty of what we do sometimes, Mark Morgan, is we're in a self-induced coma. We're in a spiritual coma. And when the enemy came in against Samson, he was in a coma. He had no clue. So what happens when we're in a spiritual coma, we're spiritually blinded to the adversary's onslaught or his plan to trick. And we shelf the actual anointing which comes with the discernment and the voice of Yahweh in our lives. So when we're not doing what we're supposed to do according to the Torah, what it does is slowly but surely puts us into a coma. That we don't realize what's going on until our eyes are gouged out.
That's right.
And then we're crying, one more time, Yahweh, one more time. So what Yahweh's saying is, come out of the coma.
That's right.
Come out of the coma and wake up and realize what's happening.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. You need an awakening. So in verse 19, after all the begging and pleading, it says that she made him sleep because he finally told. Like you said, he wouldn't come out. So she made him sleep on her knees. She called a man, he came in and shaved off 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep like he'd done so many times before. "And I will go out as the other times, and I will shake myself free." But look what it says. But he did not know that Yahweh had left him. Sin has that effect in our life. This is why I didn't want to rush through this teaching, especially on this section right here. Sin has that effect. You can dabble in sin. You can come in and out, come in and out, come in and out, and still operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the gifts and the callings are out repentance, if you're called in this situation. But here's the problem. The problem is there will come a day. There will come a day when enough's enough. The problem is me and you don't know when that day is. That's the danger of this situation. To where we get used to this life that we live, because we're so used to living in and out, I can do this a little bit down, that, well, I did this, I know this, I'm sorry, you didn't get struck with a lightning bolt, and you do this. But then all of a sudden, it comes to a place one day, he's broken everything of a Nazarite vow, and this was his last one. the cutting of his hair. And when that hair was cut, he said, he did not realize. That's the danger, guys. You're not going to know. He did not realize that the Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit, has left him. This is the danger of playing games with Yahweh. We better come out of a coma. This is why the church has no power as a whole. Because what we're doing is we're dabbling in and out. We're in and out. We're in and out. We're in and out. Ollie, we can live free and be free if we'll quit dabbling. Because here's the thing. You never know. You never know when the time is at end. Myra knows this. She's going through this right now. Hayden and them's going through this right now. You never know when an end can be. You know, whether it's 2 months or my mom's 93 and a half or somewhere in between. You never know. Where are we? We definitely don't want to come to the place in our life, and I know too many people, and I know a lot of you do too if you're old enough, you know too many people, this backslid, and they'll say, I don't know how I got here, and I don't know how to get back. Guys, that is a sad place to be. And the thing about it is this is why we need to be that trumpet. We need to be that trumpet. You don't need to be ashamed. You can't shame somebody into doing right. You can't bargain with them in doing right. You can't pay them enough quarters in doing right. You can't do that. But what you can do, you can trumpet that voice. Because when you trumpet that voice, if you'll do it, the Holy Spirit maybe. But that's all you can do. It's up to the individual to change. It's up to the individual. Steve, you had something?
So with what he's saying there about Samson, and one of the things that I was thinking about too, as Brian was talking about the spiritual coma and so on, but what we see when Samson pays restitution for the things that he's done is we see some of the things that, as you read the story, that comes clear on the stuff that Samson did. So one of the things that he mentioned today is that he saw this woman and she looked good to him. And so he's constantly looking to things and looking at things that he doesn't need to be looking at.
That's
so
right.
One of the ways that he paid restitution is the Philistines gouged out his eyes. Because that's where some of the things started with Samson, is that he looked at things that he wasn't supposed to look at.
Amen.
Another thing that happened in his paying restitution is he despised the Nazirite vow. Multiple times he despised the Nazirite vow. He went and he killed the lion, which killing something's not wrong, but going back and taking the honey out of the carcass. And then also you have the jawbone of the donkey. Yahweh did deliver the Philistines into his hand, but he was not to touch dead thing.
That's right.
So he was not supposed to be around death as a Nazirite. So he despised the Nazirite vow. The sign of the Nazirite was his locks of hair. And that was another way that he paid restitution, is that that was shorn off. Another thing, the Torah says clearly, you shall make restitution for a fire that you start in thorns that goes into grain. Now, I was listening the other day, and one of the things that Yahweh says clearly in the Geneva Convention, the Articles of War that he has in the Torah, he says, if you go into the land and you see a tree, you may cut it down to use it for siege works and to use it for battering rams and to use it, so on, for taking a city. But if it bears fruit, you shall not cut it down. You shall not rape the land.
That's right.
So Yahweh says, you shall not destroy food sources, even of your enemies, even in your enemy's land. So another way that Samson paid restitution was in the prison. They set him to doing what? Grinding grain. So Samson, we see, made bad choices with his eyes, disregarded his vow, and then also destroyed food sources. And in all three of those things, Yahweh had him to pay restitution by the end of his life for the things that he did. So the
Amen.
Things that we do sets in motion things that we can't see. So the things with our physical body in this realm come back.
They do.
in another dimension.
Amen. They do. Amen. Very good word. Because, see, that's what we're saying. This is what the story is about. He did do wrong things, but he's paying. So why a lot of times, and this is where I want us to look, we gotta come to grips with this. When bad things happen to us, 99% of the time, it ain't Satan. It ain't Satan. It's, did we burn up somebody's wheat spiritually? Did we do this? What are we sowing that we're reaping? And Yahweh is just saying, you know what? If you understand the Torah, you would understand what sowing and reaping's all about. Because if you sow bad seed, what do you expect to grow? Good seed? What did he tell you? He said a good tree cannot, a good tree cannot do what? It can't produce bad fruit. Why? Because the seed was good. And the seed was good because the seed is in the fruit. See, that's why we are to bear fruit. The seed is Yeshua. The seed is this book. Everything that's in here is the seed. We are to bear the fruit from it. But if we're not doing the things of this book, we're still bearing seed, bearing fruit from some type of seed. And what is that seed? That's the seed of the enemy. It's the seed of doing things wrong. And our life depicts that. And guess what? And Steve's right. He paid restitution for everything that Samson did wrong. He had to pay restitution for that. Isn't that awesome? When you can look at that, really go down into this. It's not just a story that, like, wow, this is a story. Look, he killed a bunch of people. Man, he's strong. He even busted out his shirt. You know, he turned green. Oh, you know, and all that stuff. That ain't what that was about. It's about, guess what? Even the called men of Elohim will reap what they sow. They're not bulletproof. David committed a sin with a woman one night. Cost him all of his sons but one. Cost him that one, was stillborn. Cost him his first four that he already had. Only one he had left was Solomon. You know what? What did he do? He didn't die, but his boys did. It was passed down to that next generation. Guys, we need to be very careful what we do. That's why learning the Torah is so important. We've been so ignorant, but the Father, you know, before Yeshua returns, and I want to say this, before Yeshua returns, he's going to reestablish his ways. Because he's not going to say, I didn't know. We're not going to be able to say, I didn't know. He's bringing a generation that's going to know, and guess what? This is why he's restoring all things. But he can't bring revival until he can bring restoration. That's just the way it is. And so Steve was right in that. And so in the story, you see where he lost his natural eyes. But he lost his spiritual eyes way long ago. But before, only way he could regain his spiritual eyes, he had to lose his natural eyes. See, my thing is I never read in the book of Judges that Samson ever repented or Samson was ever... Because we're in the generation, you're either saved or you're not. You know what I mean? But you know, whatever happened, I would have never, I said, he is a burnt piece of toast. You know what I'm saying? I would have never believed. But he did pray. And I'm going to tell you the story, then we're going to go to Hebrews. But he did pray and he said, Father, he called out for him one last time. And he says, please remember. Because they didn't realize that his hair started to grow again. And they placed him in two pillars. And he says, I am going to die with them. And so you know the story. He pushes the pillar out. He said he killed more in that one day than he had done all during the time that he judged Israel. And so he died with gouged out eyes with a sad story. But my thing was, did he make it in the world to come? So let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 11. It is the faith chapter. And I just want to say this for those who are visiting. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Everybody in there, it says, and by faith, Adam by faith, Abraham by faith, Isaac by faith, Noah by faith, Enoch, by faith, by faith, by faith. Do you know that there's not one New Testament person in the book of Hebrews 11? It didn't say by faith Yeshua. It didn't say John the Baptist or none of these. You ever thought that was interesting? Because a lot of times people look like Old Testament was by works. New Testament is by faith. It's always been by faith, guys. It's impossible to please Him without faith. It's always been about faith. Faith, though, produces works. What are the works that me and you are doing? Whatever works me and you are doing, that's the faith that we have. This is what happens. Whatever fruit, it's whatever the seeds in there. Whatever you're... You see how this works? It just says it many different ways. But you can't get away from what you're producing is what's being fed in here. That's the very seed that's there. You don't want to give people bad seed. But I thought this was interesting. In verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak," who? Samson. Samson made Hebrews 11. Samson made the roll call of faith. Japheth of David and Samuel. Samuel made it. Gideon, Barak. All of these are Samuel. Samson's sort of right there in the same. And you were saying, how did that happen? And the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, which we know a couple of them did that, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. So guys, this is why I believe that when Samson had his eyes gouged out and he was in prison, I believe that whenever he was in prison, he probably ain't no doubt. I mean, you're down to zero, guys. You're down to zero. The most powerful man and being powerful of strength and operating with the Spirit coming on you, being able, I mean, this man, they locked him in one time, locked him in. We didn't cover that. We might have. I don't know. It's been so long ago. Locked him in the city. He took the gates down. 20-foot gate. Them gates are thick. Took and ran off with them. You want to lock me in here? I'll take the gate down. Just took them off the hinges and took off and ran through the hills with them. We're talking about a powerful, strong person, a man. But yet he was weak when it come to women. He was weak going through the things of what his eyes lusted for. What are the three? Do you know the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? That is the sin. Everything else are symptoms of those three things. Adultery, fornication, prostitute, all of that other stuff is just the lust of the eyes. Or the lust of the flesh. It's just, these are all symptoms. What do we do as believers? A lot of times, we're fighting symptoms. We're trying to pray, I need to quit. No, you need to get to the root. You need to lay this axe to the root. And that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you'll take this axe and you'll lay it to that, then guess what? Adultery will fall, murder will fall, lying will fall. All of that falls. Covetousness, what is covetousness? Lusting after everybody else's stuff? Regardless, that's what it is. It's a lust. You know, out of the three, two words start with lust. And that's exactly what went wrong with Samson. But guess what? David had that problem. David made a fa- What I'm telling you is this. Guys, we're not bulletproof. This is why you have to be, like Brian said, the body of Messiah as a whole is in a coma. He's trying to wake us up out of that coma. But the thing about it is revival, reviving the spirit Think about it. The Spirit of Yahweh coming upon us. The Spirit of Yahweh. I want the Spirit of Yahweh coming upon me all the time. I don't really want it leaving. But guess what? If I'm doing the things that Samson did or that David did, or if I'm doing the lust of one of these areas, guess what? But what you don't want to happen is, and this is what I've seen happen too many times for people that of us is older, for this older ones that's known this. I've known people that love Yahweh that were fired up believers. And they are at a place, and I've talked to a handful of them, and they said, I can't find a way back. Guys, you don't ever want to get to a place to where you turned over to a reprobate. Understand this. And you know what? Yahweh said this. Paul said it. Yahweh said this. Yahweh says, I will cause. He didn't say Satan would. You can come to a place to where you can end up getting your last locks of hair cut off spiritually, and you don't even know. See, that's the thing. This is the danger part of what I'm saying today. He didn't know until he tried to exercise what he was supposed to exercise. Exercise his faith, whatever you want. Once he tried to exercise it, then he realized the Spirit had left him. That's the danger part of all of this. Is that we can get to a place, and I'm just pleading. And you know, you may know somebody. And if you know somebody's at these areas, you need to tell them. You need to tell them. Because one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be so far down the river without a paddle. It's going to take a dramatic, and I'm just going to say it like this. It's going to take a dramatic change. It's going to take a miracle. It'll take a miracle. Because I have yet to really see somebody fall so far to be able to come back and be where they once was. David never made it. Moses didn't go in the promised land because he had attitude. But what I'm saying is guys, this is not a game. I don't know what has happened in churchianity as a whole. It's like a club. It's like a fraternity or a sorority or a club. It's become, this is just something that I do. This is just something I'm going to give God his due. I got 6 days to do what I want to do. I'm just going to give him his a little bit. Guys, you better give him something every day. Because he gives you something every day. You better make sure we get it every day. Yes.
I wanted to read something from James.
Yeah, go ahead. Grab that mic right there.
Okay, James chapter 1,
verse... Then I have the worship team. If y'all want to come on up.
Verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Amen. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I just wanted to say, as you were sharing this,
perfect.
I thought about three people: Samson, Moses, and Solomon. Each one was given a tremendous gift. I think there was only two people in the Word that ever received the Holy Spirit in the womb. I think one was Samson and the other one was John the Baptist. There may have been more. But here is someone, I believe, whose strength became a liability. Like Solomon's wisdom, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wise. I can make a copy of my own Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is that I'm wiser than any man. So I can do things that the average guy cannot do. And in the case of Samson, I see again and again he's relying on his strength, his strength, his strength. And I fast forwarded to Paul when he entreats Yahweh to take this messenger of Satan from him. And the Father says to him, you know, my strength for you is sufficient because in weakness my strength is made perfect.
Amen.
Paul knew that he couldn't rely on his oratory, whatever it was that he had. He was trained under, you know, the top guy of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we see that he suffered quite a bit. And you would ask yourself the question, why would anybody ever want to go through what Paul went through? And I believe that it was because, in order for him to be wildly fruitful, Yahweh had to put some, as he does with all of us, he put some constraints on our life so that we can't trust in our wisdom.
Amen.
We can't trust in our strength. And in Moses' case, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth, and he even blew it. He even got frustrated. It's a lesson to us because these people are no longer patriarchs and matriarchs that we read about. They are family that we've been grafted into.
Amen.
And we draw from their lives because we're going to go through the very same things they did.
Amen. Very good. Amen. That's the key from this. And as we get ready and we're entering the Passover, this is definitely times when we do a reflecting of our lives. And so we're going to pray, and then we'll take up an offering, and then we're going to worship and praise. But in this prayer time, if there's something, you know, that you've been battling that you need to correct or whatever, we need to do it. You know, if we've been playing games, we need to fix it. We need to get into Yahweh's game and get out of our own game. And we need to quit, you know, going through the motions of this stuff. Yeah, Don?
Mark, on that line, what we're hitting here a lot is on the people that's walked away from God, like come out rededicating. But let's hit on a part there where the people's trying to do what's right and they got the right motives. The Father showed me something 2 days ago. Me and Gideon, I took him fishing. Now, I want to be that good father. I'm going to take him fishing, Mark. I'm going to teach him things. But I caught myself in the midst of an enjoyable day getting frustrated. And the Father quickened my heart. Is this about you?
That's right. Why are we here?
Mark, I got caught up because he got ever tangled up. I'm sitting there watching. He's getting nervous. I'm still like, where's my motive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing? We lose focus so quick. And I'm sitting there thinking, ah, chill out. Then all of a sudden, it almost brought a tear to my eye. He said, Dad, he said, I enjoy this. He said, this is the first time me and you ever had this time by ourselves. And that pierced my heart. Because sometimes we get so fast, we want to do just everything. Just, you know, we got order for everything. But sometimes we lose the focus on what we need to be doing. And I think that's what the Father's dealing with us right now.
Amen.
Because you take Samson's father and mother. I believe they knew what to do. But I think pride got in their way. Look at my son. Look what he did. He did not correct them, did not do the right thing, and did not stand up like Barbara saying, don't go there. So this time, Passover's coming up. Let's don't get too involved until we miss out what Father's trying to do to us. Be real sensitive, you know. And I'm talking about, that was a small thing that he showed me. I was up there, you know, I was casting. He caught a couple of fish. He get tangled up on a treetop, and I'm just frustrated. Then I got to watch him. And this is where the Father got. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He got frustrated and started throwing stuff down. I'm like, ooh. Mm-hmm. I said, that hurt, Mark, because I'm teaching him, whether it be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be worried about, is what are we teaching them? Because they're learning.
That's right.
Let's let that go forward from here to the Passover that we can.
Amen. They do. You know, our actions teach our children, not really what we say. It's what we do. Because there again, you got to get this, guys. The seed is in the fruit. The seed is in the fruit. The seed isn't just what you say. The seed is what you do. Your children watch what you do. You're producing something. That's what's most important. That's what they're catching.
I just wanted to share a scripture. Pastor Mark kept saying that we don't need to do a revival, but I think the word that we're looking for, that the scripture says, is to renew. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Also, I wanted to add just a little bit to the restitution that Samson paid. One of the reasons that he was held to such a standard of accountability was the fact that his parents had gone and asked of the father and inquired of him, how shall we raise him? So that gives us indication that his parents took very seriously to train him and to teach him in the way that he should go. And so Samson deliberately did the things that he did. And so that's why he was held to a higher standard. I didn't mention about the mercy that the Father shows for repentance. And that's one thing that I did want to mention here, is that when we repent, when we teshuvah and turn the other way, he casts out the sins that we've committed before. And he repents from the evil, according to Torah, he repents from the evil that he was planning to bring on us. So Samson had an opportunity, but he chose specifically and deliberately to go against the things that he was taught. And that's the place where we need to, if we've been taught, we don't have the liberty to just go and do what we want to do. But if we've not been taught, there's mercy there. And there's an ability that we have to turn and to walk in victory and freedom, and for the Father to still bless us and to repent for the evil that he thought to bring on us.
I want to share for those who are new, the word repent, that it's talking of, the true definition of repent, teshuvah in the Hebrew, means to turn away from. So I know as a fundamental Christian, when I would read, you know, the three times a year I read my Bible, that Yahweh repented of something, I could not wrap my brain around why would he have to repent, because I visualize repentance as saying, I'm sorry, forgive me for ever thinking about doing this to you. But that's not what it's saying there at all. When it says that Yahweh repented for what he thought to do to them, it meant he turned away from what he was going to do and did not do. So he turned away from that idea and turned to another idea based on our choices that we made. So just to clear it up, in case there's anybody here that wonders, is he asking forgiveness, saying I'm sorry? That is not. He doesn't have to repent. He's the creator. But what he did do, what it means there, is he turned away from what he was going to do and turned to something else. Amen?
First, I want to thank you, brother, back there for saying what you said with your son and fishing, because that spiritually punched me dead in the face. So, but also, you know, we were talking about how the Spirit moved on Samson, but only sometimes, right? Well, why did the Spirit move on him? He was Yahweh's representative, just like we are Yahweh's representative. So we need to think about that when we're caught in sin or whatever it may be. There are things that we can't do as his representatives, things that we cannot say, that other people may think are perfectly normal and perfectly fine, but for us it's not okay.
Amen, amen.